From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com, you're listening to The Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Vinny Show. August 5, 2016, figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. We have a lot to talk about here today, and we are starting late, so let's not waste any time and get Granny on the air. Okay, Granny's here, everybody. In rare form, late at night. What's going on, Granny?
Well, I sat down to watch the news and fell asleep, so.
Wow.
Exciting night.
Why do people say that in rare form? This is Granny's regular form, right?
I'm usually up this late anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to find out what my month of August is like?
What's your month of August like?
Okay. On the 12th, so we're going to the bowling alley for Wayne's birthday.
Cool.
On the 17th, I'm going to the casino, Angel of the Wings.
Cool.
And on the 24th, I'm having my card party.
Cool.
And somewhere in between there, my sister and her husband are coming up from California.
Cool.
And then on September the 5th, I'm going to Kashmir with Lynn and Dawn.
Man, what a crazy month.
She's a band on tour.
She is like a band on tour. The tape hiss in the background adds to it, by the way. All right, what do we got on her Facebook? Let's get going here.
I did a crazy thing this morning. I deleted the first part of it, so I don't know how many people I missed.
It says here you deleted them at 3:35 a.m.
What do you mean you deleted the first half of it?
Well, what happened was on my Granny Figure 4, when I put something on there, it shows up on my regular one. So I was trying to delete the one on my regular one, and they all went off.
You got that, Vinny?
Sure.
Sure, me too. Okay, so what is on the Facebook today?
Vinny can read it.
Yeah, Vinny.
Yeah, Brian, what do you think I'm here for?
Get your ass going, dude.
Granny says, don't know what happened here. Picked George Harvey's idea for a contest. Come up with a title and tagline for a movie starring members of the Empire for the BNV show. Keep them short, please.
Is there a prize, Granny?
I guess I'll have to give a $10 prize.
Oh, man, $10. When $10 is being given away on this show, it's a great Thursday. All right, Vinny, let's go.
Carmine the Very says, Broken Granny versus Brother Zuckerberg, the final deletion.
Huh.
Because she deleted them, you see.
Yeah, I got it.
Kelly Grimes, aneurysm, when one man is forced to listen to his subscribers' jokes.
One man? Who are you talking about, me or Vinny?
That's a good point.
Or Granny.
Mance.
Could be anybody.
On the list of things related to my life that are going to give me an aneurysm, listening to jokes by the subscribers is very, very low on the list.
Mance Chapel. Look Who's Talking For Paisley Review SmackDown Live.
Huh.
Will Holder. Bingo Bonanza.
Will Holder. You think that's his real name? Will Holder?
Probably Bill.
Holder.
Yes, I get it.
Got it?
Yeah. He's probably never heard that before.
Maybe his first name is like Irving. I Will Holder. What do you think?
Shouldn't be this funny.
Yes, Granny. Okay, cool. So the next one, Vinny.
Will Holder.
Okay.
Never get to read it.
Oh, sorry.
Bingo Bonanza, starring Granny, Brian, and Vinny, and introducing Dave Meltzer as the number caller.
Oh, wow.
That one's not bad.
That is not bad, actually.
Danny Leung. Vinny Verhey Adventures.
Vinny Verhey?
Hey, there's more. Vinny Verhey Adventures.
Did he spell it weird, or are you pronouncing your own name wrong?
I say Verhey. Some of my family members say Verhey.
I see.
Vinny Verhey Adventures, The Quest to Find 11A.
Oh, man. The things you'll be remembered for.
Will our hero ever find his gateway back home from vacation?
Will they find some cemetery somewhere with Rose? And they can make sure they buy you plot
either.
11A.
Bury me in 11A.
Yeah, that's
I'll
right.
kill you.
You'll be dead.
I'll find a way. Johnny Stewart. You're Exposing the Wrestling Business, starring Dave Meltzer.
You're Exposing. It's like a man's name. Like Will Holder.
You're exposing?
You're exposing.
You're is a first name?
If you watched the Cruiserweight Classic, Vinny, you'd know that that's not that weird a name. We had a Noam Dar. You tell me we can't have a Yer?
Michael James Stetzel. Dumb and Dumber.
You didn't read the last part of that other one.
Yeah, and there must be more, Vinny. Don't fuck this up for Granny.
Don't count out this man's dedication to destroying kayfabe.
Thank you, Granny.
Okay.
Are you sorry. Sure? Michael James Stetzel, Dumb and Dumber for Brian and Vinny. Every day is a no-brainer.
Hey, that's pretty good.
That's not bad either.
Rohan Unrau. If I could seriously borrow a dollar for a minute, starring Brent Cremin and Lance T. Storm.
That is a good one.
The last dollar you beg for may be the sternest.
That's the winner, I think, Granny.
This is the best one so far.
Read it one more time. That was good.
If I could seriously borrow a dollar for a minute, starring Brent Cremin and Lance T. Storm.
Excellent. God, if Brent finds out about Super China Buffet Day, I don't know if you're aware of this, everybody. If you've not been on Twitter, Lance is coming down to Seattle, and he will be joining us for Super China Buffet Day.
I heard about this.
When is it?
Well, it's SummerSlam weekend, whatever that is. 2 weekends from now, Vinny?
I think 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from now.
We got to find a good buffet
you
then.
Let me know.
We do. I don't know where the hell.
I know where, but it would be expensive.
Where?
We go to Novilio's, the Brazilian steakhouse.
That could be the winner.
It is expensive. It might limit the number of people that could go, but God, that place is good.
The last two or three buffets we have done have sucked.
Where is it, Brian?
Bellevue, Granny.
Oh, bummer.
I'm sure that someone could get you there. Every time.
Is that where we went last year?
I should get like a guilt phone, like the bat phone.
Bellevue is 15 minutes from Woodinville.
Yeah, Granny, it's very close.
It's probably faster to get to Bellevue than it is to get to here. John Pincus, Escape from Orlando 2008, The Survival of the Empire is in Doubt. I think that's funny. Maybe it's because I was in Orlando in 2008. I did try to escape.
God, it is Orlando next year, isn't it?
Yeah, have fun.
If ever I could, anyway.
John Middleman, Throw Chico from the Ice Train. He has his plot description.
Oh, good.
Vinny, a journalist with an appetite for wife.
What?
So he wrote, teaches a writing workshop where Granny, one of his students, is fed up with her domineering grandson, Brian. A Bothell road trip entailed with guilt ensues.
Is this supposed to be an appetite for life? What's he trying to say here?
I think he means I'm lustful for my wife.
Oh.
Which is, you know, accurate.
Weird.
Yeah. Gary Mahaffey. Turn the volume up. One man's eternal fight against his grandmother's telephone handset.
Hmm. That's kind of different.
That's kind of different, she says.
Ryan Mitchell Jackson.
I should have got Granny headphones that are shaped like those old horns that the old people hold up to their ears.
Eh?
Eh? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Jackson wrote a long one here. The story of Commissioner Brian Alvarez and his overstaffed writing crew comprised of Filthy Tom Lawler, Dave Meltzer, Mike Sempervivi, and the rest of the F4W Empire in their attempt to do whatever possible to push their chosen wrestling star, Big Vinny V, whilst trying to keep the company afloat. It's the must-see summer blockbuster. Overbooked. Vinny flies, no buys.
You know, one thing I gotta say is that if there is one word I have never used to describe my empire, it is overstaffed.
I can confirm, there's not a lot of people around here twiddling their thumbs with nothing to do.
No.
That does not occur.
No.
Greg Harrison. Beyond the Fat. Wrestling with Wangs, Whales, and Woes.
That's a good one. That may be the new winner.
Joshua Hobbs, Brian and Vinny take on Florida. Tagline, Revenge of the Gold Boat. Cameron Davis, Burgers, Barrels, and Brian, the Gladys Gibson story.
Woo.
You know, when Granny's name is in it.
I knew you'd say that, Brian.
High in the running.
That's why I said something, because I knew you'd say that.
Oh, man, she's figured me out.
Yep.
Pat Hamilton, Brian and Vinny present a movie starring a guy. Critics say it was fine.
Hey, that's a good one.
That's a good one. I see that movie.
Did you hear live it every day?
Did you hear the Big Lebowski died today?
Really, the original?
The actor who played the Big Lebowski.
The actor who played the Big Lebowski.
Yes, in the movie.
Not the old guy. The Big Lebowski. Yeah.
Not Jeff Bridges.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess I kind of figured he was already dead.
I see.
That's too bad, though. My condolences to the Big Lebowski.
Strong men do cry. Joy Hickman, the Brian and Vinny movie, Paisley Rising. Christopher Wu, The Empire Strikes Fat, Vinny Gets Skinny.
Winner!
That's your favorite
it's
now?
It's so easy to win when I'm judging.
Because it's a fat joke.
And make a fat joke about Vinny and you win.
That's right.
Until the next guy makes one. And then he wins.
There's a better one coming up.
Yeah.
Billy Moran, The Hobbit, A Hobbit's Tale by Brian Alvarez. That's funny.
Lame.
Rich Connor, Dude, Where's My Abs, starring Big Vinny V.
No.
You like it better?
No.
I think it's better than The Empire Strikes Fat.
No, it's come on.
Dude, Where's My Abs?
Nope.
I woke up one day and my abs were gone.
Nope.
Jeremy Plotkin.
If he found an ab-like muscle that rhymed with car, he would have won.
I see.
Yeah.
Grumpy Old Men, starring Les Thatcher and Vince Verhey. Exhausted sigh, he writes.
Les is much younger than you.
Really, yeah, he is. It's not close.
No. Physically and mentally.
Yeah. Matthias Kettler, Ride Along, Belly to Belly, On the Road with Vinny and Craig. It is fun watching Craig climb in and out of my car.
Wow.
Steve Souza, Jr. Hogan 86, The Unauthorized Story Behind the Greatest Belt Ever Made.
Oh, give me a break.
Starring Mike Sempervive and Tom Waller.
Ban that guy, Granny.
Angry cameo by Brian Alvarez.
Give me his name so I can block him on Twitter.
Steve Souza, Jr.
Twitter blocking is so great. Some people say, you know, you should just mute them so you don't give them the satisfaction of being blocked. But what they don't understand is it's also my satisfaction. What was that over there, Granny?
Coffin.
Okay.
She's in a coffin.
Man.
That's sad.
Guiltula. What do you think?
Go back to your story here about blocking.
Okay. What story? That's it. No, I concluded and then she coughed. I had nothing more to add.
Alexander Gievadov, Revenge of the Nerds, Gymnastics Isn't Nerdy, Part 4.
It's not.
Raja Lars Bredehoft, Cirque de Paisley Soleil, All Hail the Queen of the Empire.
Some fella trolling me on Facebook is going to make fun of gymnasts. Give me a break.
Edgar Montiel, Unfolding the Sheets, A True Dave Meltzer Story, with the subhead, you know.
Two more. Owen, I want the wrestling report.
Owen Mason, Finding Iyamo. Iyamo gathers all the non-Brian Show radio hosts in a battle against the evil empire to get recognition.
Wow.
And I'm going to skip ahead for the last one because I saw this. It caught my eye. John Lamb. Kremen. One man's erotic journey from J-date to jail cam.
No.
No? All right.
Granny, what did we watch this week in wrestling? By the way, who's the winner? The Empire Strikes Fat?
The one way back there.
The one way back there, Vinny. You got that one? The one way back there.
No, I don't.
The first one we said we liked.
The first one we said we liked. Vinny's headbutting the microphone.
Rohan
on Rao. If I could seriously borrow a dollar for a minute.
There we go.
Okay.
Let's have some excitement, Vinny. That's the winner. He got $10 from an 86-year-old woman via PayPal.
Yay.
That's what I'm looking for.
I think he's won before, too.
I think he's won 1,000 times.
It's impossible. No, there cannot possibly be a repeat winner at a granny contest.
Yeah. Okay, Granny.
Wrestling report.
Shall we?
Oh, just a minute. Had turned the light up. You know, this week NXT...
Did it get darker?
NXT was bad.
It was bad?
It was bad. I had to go to something else.
Why was it so bad? Too many tag matches and you can't tell who's who?
Yeah, that's what.
The Boom! Main, I knew
main,
it.
The main one was the four guys.
I can actually see the main event just going right over Granny's head. Four dudes had a match. Can you tell TM61 as well as Dash and Dawson apart, Vinny?
One of the Australians has tattoos.
If you were Granny.
One of the Americans is bald.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Good review. What else did you watch?
This is the girls. I'll have to ask you. Aliyan. How do you pronounce that?
Alaya.
Alaya. And Asuka?
Asuka.
Asuka. I tried to spell it so I could pronounce it that way. But anyway, Bailey came out and sat with the announcers. And what was it? Alaya?
Alaya.
Can I just call her Al?
Yeah.
Okay. Al and...
Ass.
If she'll be my bodyguard.
Al and Asuka came out. Asuka has on her mask, and she's the champ. Anyway, she takes a chair, puts it on the ringside for Bailey. Bailey goes over and kicks the chair over.
Mm.
So then the girls get in there, and they start Azusa or Shura. I hate this. Got Al wrapped in the ropes and jumped on her.
Al.
Jumped on her. And Al kicked Asura in the face, but Asura turned the tables and kicked Asura. Her in the face. Asura got a submission hold and won the match. So Bailey got in the ring to help Al, and Bailey and Asura are going to have a match next week.
All righty.
Okay.
That was a good one, Granny.
Oh, those names just get me. And then there's a guy come out. I forgot his first name, Buddy or something like that. Rude, R-O-O-D-E.
Buddy Rude.
Buddy Rude. Buddy.
He comes out and does a big promo how NXT is all for him and they need him and he's had 20 years experience and all that stuff as far as those promos go. Okay, then that's the main event.
What did you think of his music?
I don't remember any music.
Really? Man.
I don't pay attention to the music.
It's hard to miss, but go ahead, the main event.
Okay, the main event was the four guys.
It was.
Correct, yeah.
And I got something wrong here.
I can't wait. I cannot wait to hear the play-by-play of this match.
I hope there's a neck hold.
Well, I'm trying to think of who the guys were. Okay, I didn't put that down. The guys were... Oh, I had another match.
I'm interested in the main event first, then we'll go to the other match.
Well, oh, I didn't even put their names down.
Okay, well, give us a play-by-play of just the four guys.
Oh, I got it.
Okay.
Was double match, the Revivals? Revivals.
The Revivals.
The Revivals and T61.
Revivals and T61.
Okay.
Two hot bands of the 50s.
Huh?
Go ahead.
I don't know their names. Trusted. Twisted, the arm was going, somebody was twisting the arms and pulling hair and then pushed him in the corner and slapped him a few times and all four got in the ring at the same time and hit one another in the face with his elbow and hurting his left shoulder and down for the two count, another corner kick and the Revivals won.
Oh, hey, you got the right team.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, then I went to WCW.
Cruiser. Oh, WCW?
Yeah.
So you went to the CWC?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
What's it?
CWC.
Oh, I got WCW Cruiserweight. Okay. There was a Rick Swan versus Chasen Lee.
Okay.
Chasen Lee was from China.
Yeah.
And starts with an arm twist by Rich and usually Nick Holt start and a usual neck hold. They're the all
usual
so neck holds.
The usual neck hold.
So Rick gives Jason a kick drop and has submission hold. Jason gets out of it with a two count. Crowd liked Rick, and Jason gets Jason down again for a second count. Jason hits Rick real hard. Rick goes wild, has a cradle on Jason, and does the 450 splash for the win.
Wow.
Was I right with that 450
yeah.
splash?
Yeah, amazingly you were.
Anyway, that was it.
That's it?
That's it. How much do you want?
Man, I thought you'd watch the whole show.
Whole what? NXT?
CWC. The whole WCW. Oh. Cruiserweight.
You know, I don't have time all week, and then I have to sit here on Thursday
and cram.
All afternoon and watch. So
you're right.
I think three are plenty, don't you?
Well, that's good.
Yes.
Vinny. Oh, Vinny, come on. She did such a good job with that.
No,
first
I mean,
match.
I wish I only had to watch three.
Huh?
I wish I only had to watch three.
Well, you don't.
I know.
But she does. Granny, you missed the main event with Tommaso Ciampa, who is one of your gang members.
Oh, really? Where was that?
At the end of the CWC, but you quit watching.
Oh, yeah, because I'd already had those other two on NXT, and I was getting kind of tired of it.
Man, how disappointing. All right, well, that was a good report, Granny.
I just wanted to tell you something. I got an email from Nikki a while ago, and it said, this was his obituary. So I emailed her back and said, what are you talking about? And I never did hear from her. And now she's sending me a message that says, I just swear that was what you had awake. I might be totally nuts. Huh?
What is happening?
I don't get it either. She said, that was his obituary.
Who?
She didn't tell me, and I'm sitting here waiting. And then she sends me this that doesn't make sense. I just swear that was what you had awake. I may be totally nuts.
Huh.
Doesn't make sense at all. Anyway. Rohan, send me your email address and I'll send you your $10.
Okay.
All right.
Am I done now?
Hey, Granny,
it's up to you.
You're hey, I'm just hanging out right here.
Okay, if you want to ask me any more questions or I'm so bad at those names though.
No, come on.
Terrible with those names.
Come on.
But I'm looking forward to see those two women have a match. Bailey and
Asuka.
Asuka.
I'll make sure I let you know when you can see that match.
Okay.
And Granny's into the women.
I asked you, Brian, to let me know what you wanted me to watch, and you didn't answer me.
Well, you're doing great every week, Granny. What more do you want me to do? If I have something I need you to watch, I'll let you know.
Okay.
All right. Why don't you find out what Nick's talking about and then email me so I can tell the world, which is waiting with bated breath for the answer.
I don't understand what's going on. Okay, I will.
Okay.
All righty.
Hey, goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Yes?
What the hell do we do now?
Dude, I don't know what happened right there. That was wacky.
I have no idea where to go.
What the hell was she talking about there at the end?
Not a clue.
What happened to my show?
I don't know.
Well, I try so hard. I don't know if you can tell. By the quality that... Anyway...
I'm going to do this NXT show she reviewed.
Sure.
Hideo Itami made his big return.
How the hell did she not know this? It's not a doubles match. Maybe Hideo was just too much.
She just couldn't take it.
She's zoned out.
Or Maluda. Sean Maluda was his opponent, who lost to Kota Ibushi in the first round of the CWC. They mentioned this, said it was his second chance to make a name for himself. And they had Zack Sabre Jr. and other CWC participants in suits in the front row. They said, they talked about the mysterious parking lot incident that left Itami injured. And the payoff after all this time is, it's probably Kevin Owens. And they're moving on.
Well, you know,
the guy.
Maybe later we'll find out who it really was.
Maybe later. So this, you would think it would just be a Tommy making his comeback here, doing a 2-minute squash and hitting all his moves and getting his win in dominant fashion. But instead, he went back and forth with young Sean Maluda. And the crowd was not much into it until the Tommy at the end began to no-sell kicks to the chest. And the good news is, for a Tommy, that Daniel Bryan is now retired, which means that Tommy can go back to using the jumping knee strike finish that was his in the first place. So that's what he used to beat Maluda here.
The good news is he's back, but that's about where the good news ends. Because he had a huge compression sleeve on his arm, and he was holding it all weird the whole time. Maybe I'm wrong, but it looked to me like this guy is not back 100%. I don't think he's ever going to be 100%. Out for over a year with that injury. He's no young spring chicken.
No.
Hopefully he does not fall apart. I will say, even with one arm, he's still very good.
Not only did they identify Andrea as Andrea backstage, but she has a last name. Andrea DeMarco.
Wow.
She interviewed The Revival. They were talking about how they were the best tag team on the planet when TM61, or T61, Granny called them. They interrupted, said the planet was a big place, and they had been traveling the world fighting the best. They wanted a title shot now.
It was T61 and The Revivals.
Yes. So Gargano and Ciampa interrupted. They did some lame comedy about how they were number one contenders, and The Revival were scared.
Actually, what happened was Ciampa, who is, in fact, a friend of Granny's on Facebook, attempted to guilt them into giving them a title shot.
That is true.
This did not escape me. I knew it immediately. It didn't work.
Revival said, "We are not scared. We already promised a title shot to TM61, so you four guys settle that amongst yourselves." And they left, and the four guys did a little more lame comedy. Mojo Rawley versus Chris Atkins.
Who does, in fact, appear to be on the Atkins diet.
I just like he's yet another Australian.
Dude, they're everywhere.
They're blossoming. Mojo got called up, shouldn't be on the show anymore, still is. So he seemed to have the win in about a minute, but then when he made the cover, the ref just stopped counting. And a few seconds later, Samoa Joe hit the ring and killed them both. Oops. So Joe cut a promo, said Regal did not feel the need to consult him about a title match, so he did not feel the need to consult Regal about coming out and ruining the show. He was running down Nakamura when Mojo returned and blindsided him. He laid him out, and the refs were taking Mojo back up the ramp when Joe jumped him from behind and choked him out.
You know, it's very different, the CWC and NXT, as compared to the main roster, because on the main roster, you would never get away with vowing to kill somebody.
True.
He said he was going to kill Shinsuke Nakamura. Ciampa's nickname is the Psycho Killer. None of these things will make Raw.
No.
You're not allowed to kill anybody.
No.
Although he did kill Mojo Rawley, which I heartily approved of. Can you believe they drafted him and he has not appeared on one SmackDown? Unless I'm imagining things. Have I completely forgotten Mojo on SmackDown? I don't think I have.
I don't know.
And if I have, it was quite forgettable.
Well, we know when they drafted Mark Henry, they said they didn't draft him to be a wrestler either. So perhaps they have Mojo in mind as a motivator.
Maybe someone in NXT
mentor.
Paid them to draft him just to get him the hell off NXT.
Well, he's still here. So the other woman, the one who's not Andrea, I think, interviewed Bayley backstage. Bayley said she had been in NXT for a while now and it's time to adopt. And she started to say she was ready for Asuka.
Adopt?
Not like adopt a child, but change.
Adapt.
My bad. Anyway, Asuka interrupted and told her to watch her match.
I do like the idea that she's going to adopt.
Ready to adopt. I don't know.
You know, been here a while. It's time for a baby.
No time for a man, just adopting.
Sure.
Asuka versus Aaliyah, who is not that Aaliyah. That would be news. This one is Canadian, so I assume there's just no women left in Australia. They've already signed them all.
I was wrong. He was in the SmackDown Live Battle Royal.
Oh. So Bayley came out to do commentary, but then Asuka came out. She does her whole entrance, and then she grabs a chair, sets it up in the aisle, and demands Bayley come sit there. Crowd was very impressed with this audacity, and Bayley came out and kicked the chair over, and the crowd gasped at that, too. So Asuka beat the crap out of poor Aaliyah. She hung her on the ropes, put her in the octopus, laughing in Bayley's face. Just destroyed her. And I believe Aaliyah hit one kick the entire match, and then Asuka hit many kicks, made a cover, but pulled her up at two, hit more kicks, and tapped her out with the Asuka lock, and wouldn't break the hold until Bayley hit the ring.
God bless this Aaliyah. She was on breaking ground, and she was portrayed as a girl with little hope, who was in way over her head, and was trying so hard to impress Regal. And finally, she'd figured out what she was going to do for her grand entrance. Did you notice her grand entrance?
No.
Yeah. And then she looked like a deer in the headlights, and Asuka beat the shit out of her. Killed her, lifted her up at two, and then killed her again.
Asuka, who's in the neighborhood of 150 pounds, is the best monster on the roster outside of Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Then she is going to be the best heel.
Yeah. Yes.
She's so good that the fans love her, but she gets them to turn on her so easy.
Yeah.
It's like she's playing with them. It was wondrous.
You could say she's working them.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it helps that she's feuding with Bayley,
who is the most popular person on the roster, so yes. Oney Lorcan did a backstage promo. So he gets an upset win over Ty Dillinger. He disappears for a month.
Over Ty Dillinger?
Yeah.
Is that really an upset?
That's what he said here himself, actually.
I know that, but...
But anyway, he gets the win. He disappears for a month. And then they show this promo, which apparently happened after his win. They just had it in the can for a month.
Well, a lot of stuff going on in the last month in NXT.
In a very, very boring manner, he explained that to hang in NXT, he had to go back to his roots. So he left.
His roots.
I guess he left.
Oney Lorcan.
Yeah. We had the wacky promo about the one who searches for challenges and myth rises above the voices and heralding legend. Ember Moon is coming on the 20th, which I believe is the takeover show.
Ember Moon.
Ember Moon. Please don't be Cobra Moon.
I hope he's better than Cobra Moon.
This is a low bar.
You know it is.
Bobby Roode and his Queen knockoff music came out for a promo.
And this song, all people were talking about all day was this song. I believe the name of the song, I could be wrong. I think it's called Glorious.
That seems to be the message.
That is definitely the message. The message is that he's glorious.
Yes.
It is very wacky.
Yes, it is.
It does not fit Bobby Roode at all.
No, it doesn't.
And it kind of... I will compare this to the Dean Ambrose segment that he had with Dolph Ziggler, where I couldn't tell if I loved it or hated it. I thought that Dean Ambrose was unbelievably awesome. I thought Dolph held up his end of it well. But at the end of the day, I couldn't figure out if I liked it or not. Because, anyway, point of it is, I heard this music, and I can't decide if I love it or hate it. It's a very weird feeling to not know if you love something or hate it.
I'm very good at knowing when I hate something.
But I can't tell.
That's my strength in life, is hating.
Now, I will tell you, his promo was very long, and 90% of it was boring. Now, the 10% that was not boring was awesome. And it was mostly burying the fans and what they looked like and what they were wearing.
Yeah.
But he said it with such passion. Bobby Roode does not like cargo shorts. I can tell you that.
Or ripped jeans.
Or ripped jeans. Or people who are fat or ugly.
Yeah.
He made that very clear.
Yeah, he took about 15 minutes here to say that when he was, now that he is a superstar in NXT, soon the NXT stands will be filled with presidents and CEOs and not you stupid losers.
Yeah.
He pointed out his own outfit, his custom suits.
His expensive shoes.
His fancy watch. Even his socks.
He's Ric Flair.
He totally did a Ric Flair promo. Without being Ric Flair.
Thank you.
That is a key difference. He promised to make NXT glorious, and they played his music again.
What he did was he played Ric Flair doing a Bobby Roode promo. I guess that's what it was.
I suppose so. Four guys had a tag match.
You know, when Granny said four guys had a match, there isn't much of a better description of it than that. Four guys had a match. Now, I do think Dawson is very good. He's the bald-headed guy.
Yeah.
I think he's a pretty good promo. I think he's a very good worker. Dash is getting a lot better.
They're a great team.
TM61, first off, I think the name sucks. It's way too obscure. It is an homage to their tag team name in Japan and the area code of Australia. Nobody gets it. And they're totally missing something.
Yes.
They're two guys.
They are so impressive athletically. They are so fundamentally sound. And they are so generic and bland.
They made Dash and Dawson actually look like Arn. I guess they called him Arn and Oli.
Called him Oli later, and the rival said, thank you.
Yeah.
Which I loved.
It's not the worst thing to call a team.
No.
They are Arn and Oli.
Yeah.
Compared to TM61 here. They're not bad.
TM61, to use the 1980s NWA reference, they are two Tim Horners.
They're two guys.
Yeah.
Who faced two other guys, and yeah. They had a tag team match, and it was fine.
I did like the finish where Nick Miller is making his comeback. He's running wild.
That's not helping, by the way.
No.
Nick Miller.
If your name is the same name as 87 fans in a given crowd, change your name. Oney Lorcan's a better name than Nick Miller.
At least one guy is named Dash.
Yes.
And the other one's named Dawson.
They go together.
I don't know Dash's first name.
Dash is his first name.
Oh, Dash Wilder.
Yeah.
Okay, now that's ridiculous. Nothing about this man screams Wilder.
What is he Wilder
He's
than?
He's not Wilder than his partner, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, God. Anyway, they lure Miller into chasing them around the ring. And when he chases them into the ring, one of them catches him with a DDT and pins him.
Yeah.
That was new. So they're cutting a promo, the Revivals are. About how they are the best team in the world. They have beaten teams from all over the world. And they began to list all the teams they've beaten. Gargano and Ciampa come out. They did call them Ole and Arn. And the Revival did say, thank you. Because it is a blatant knockoff act. And I mean that as high praise. So we got some Muppet jokes and some Pokemon jokes. The Revival called them nerds. Tried a sneak attack. But Gargano and Ciampa cut them off. Whipped their ass. Hit their knee strike, super kick finish. And Gargano made a cover. And Ciampa counted three. It was a very basic, solid angle to build to the title match.
Sure.
I enjoyed this episode.
It was fine. One thing is, when Gargano and Tommaso were out there doing their comedy, the Full Sail fans were totally into it. Now, you have to know your audience. And so, I will not say anything negative about what they did on this show. But I will say, this exact same thing would have died the death of all deaths on the main roster.
The comedy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Luckily, they're amazing wrestlers, as we will talk about here on the Cruiserweight Class.
Well, on that note.
When they didn't do any comedy, they were goddamn deadly serious.
There was zero comedy.
It was fucking great. Cruiserweight Classic is my favorite show every week.
Pretty much.
What is better?
You know,
it's better than NXT. It's better than Raw. It's better than SmackDown.
I got a message from someone who disagreed passionately with
who?
The show. I will keep his identity a secret.
Sean?
I will keep his identity a secret.
What a numbskull. You tell Sean, get his act together.
I'll see what I can do. But the point being, he did not like the matches in the earlier shows. And I listened to his points. He had reasons why. And I thought about what he said. And without even agreeing or disagreeing with him, I don't care. I don't care if the matches are good or bad. The show is such a great wrestling show that it's my favorite. Now, this week we had great matches. I don't think anyone can argue that.
I can argue one of them wasn't great, but
that's true. We have three great matches and one notable exception.
You know what it is about the Cruiserweight Classic? Sometimes you'll hear people say, I just want a show with all wrestling.
Yeah.
Now, there's a problem with that, which is that, especially in mixed martial arts, we have seen promotions that are just all about fights. Just put dudes in a cage and have them do fights. Nobody watches.
Yeah.
So I've always kind of argued you have to have more than just wrestling. Then I watched this fucking show. This is just wrestling, but it's not. Because they have a whole bunch of intriguing characters who are just wrestling.
That's true.
And because it is a tournament, and because there are brackets,
yes,
and because there are announcers who are fucking good and storytellers, this Just Wrestling show is a better sports entertainment show than fucking Raw, which is all about sports entertainment and less about wrestling.
I will say also that the problem with Just Wrestling, or Just Fights for that matter, is 95% of the matches or fights you see on TV, it doesn't matter who wins or loses, and the fight is over, and you don't think anything's been accomplished.
And
this is a tournament.
Yes, and you can't just have guys out there just wrestling.
Yeah, you made that point, too.
Yeah. But this is a bunch of really interesting people working all sorts of different styles.
Yes.
It's like WCW in 1995,
mm-hmm.
not just because it's cruiserweights, but because you have a bunch of different people that are not all doing WWE style.
Right.
They're doing their own style. And sometimes you get really wacky matchups where the guys have to figure out how to make it work. And it's great.
And
usually,
if you find a guy you like, he needs to win so you can see him again.
That's right.
So you care who wins and loses.
That's right.
It's a perfect show. Rich Swann versus Jason Lee.
This is not the Jason Lee from Ohio Valley.
Or from Mallrats. Swann cut a promo, says he's not too small to succeed in wrestling. And Lee was billed from Hong Kong. He says his style is a mix of pro wrestling and kung fu. And he speaks in Chinese, and he promises his fans back home to try to his best to win the tournament.
And he has nunchucks.
So we watched TM61, and then we watched Rich Swann.
Oh, my God. If they don't sign...
This is a fountain of charisma.
If they do not sign Rich Swann, I will lose all hope for Triple H and the future of this company.
Yeah.
How the fuck can you not sign this guy?
He comes out smiling, dancing the whole time. The crowd knew him very well. They were chanting his name and going along with the gimmick. And every time he was on offense, he was dancing and working the crowd. Or when he was on defense, he was doing fiery no-selling. His facials are awesome. His charisma is great. He is a star. So what I love is it's the Cruiserweight Classic. They're small men. It's a lot of flips. It's a lot of kicks. It's a lot of big moves. And then Swann makes his comeback, and he attacks with Vader forearms. He's clubbing this man. And finally, he puts Lee away with a standing 450 where he jumped twice for no reason first. Then he danced for the fans more. This man rules.
All right, this has nothing to do. I don't want people to think this is a spoiler, because I actually do not know, in the case of Rich Swann, what happens in the next round. But I want to mention this before we get going any further, because I do know some results. And I just want to say that there is one thing that I don't mind now, but I can tell I'm going to get very mad as we move on in this tournament. There are some people who are going to be eliminated, and there are other people who are not going to be eliminated.
I see.
And my blood will boil. I just want y'all to know that. Just want y'all to know that.
You are teasing your rant.
Yeah.
Noam Dar versus Gurv Sierra, which I promise these are both actual names.
See, Granny was right.
Noam Dar was born in Israel, raised in Scotland. He is the youngest man in the tournament. Unlike Bill Dundee, who has 18 accents at once, he just sounds Scottish. And Gurv Sierra is the other half of the Bollywood boys from Canada representing India. So,
I'm sure they're both great guys.
Mm-hmm.
This match was not very good.
No.
I did not think either man looked very good at all.
No.
And
both guys looked like they had learned wrestling from watching it on TV and had no idea how to put a match together. It was 300 spots with neither guy having any sustained offense. There was no real momentum shifts. There was nothing memorable about any of it.
And it wasn't even like the 300 spots were impressive.
No, it was not crisp execution. And eventually, Dar tapped him out with a knee bar. And that was it, man. I got nothing to say.
Daniel Bryan is the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
But even he was talking about how there's no reason to just randomly do a flip. You've got to try and win. And without outright burying Noam Dar's knee bar, he subtly threw in that I would have spun the opposite
way. I would have spun the other way.
He was trying so hard to be nice.
This is the meanest Brian can get.
Because actually, the first match was Rich Swann and Jason Lee. And Rich Swann was like in another universe from Jason Lee.
Yeah.
But goddammit, Daniel Bryan was going to do everything he could to try to get Jason Lee over. He's so fast. He may be the fastest man in the whole tournament.
I thought Akira Tozawa was the fastest man. I may have been wrong.
Yeah. I cannot say enough good things,
Daniel Bryan,
about the commentary team.
I stand by this. I think if he's allowed to just be himself and grow a little bit and if he's not out there being Vince McMahon's puppet, and if he is just allowed to call wrestling matches, he's going to be a better commentator than he was a wrestler.
Dude, well, I don't know about that, because...
And he was a great wrestler.
And people need to go back and really look at a lot of Daniel Bryan before we go crazy. But you know what he is? He is... If you combined Ric Flair and David Crockett... He was a guy who was a fabulous wrestler, who, when he does commentary, is nuts.
He is the biggest fan.
He's the biggest fan ever, but unlike David Crockett, he knows what he's talking about. That was the missing key from David Crockett.
That is a key.
He didn't know what the fuck he was talking about half the time, but he was passionate. And Brian has brought the passion and love for wrestling back to announcing.
Speaking of passion and love... Let's talk about the breakout star of the first round. Jack Gallagher. Even Brian admitted he was falling in love with this man by the end of the match.
Dude, fuck the end of the match. Jack Gallagher, the moment he appeared on the screen, I was in love. He didn't even say a word yet. He was just there, and I was like, oh my God. Yes! And then he started talking, and then it was even better, and then he started wrestling.
He appears on screen. If any of you ever saw when Conan O'Brien, I think it was when he first left Late Night to take over the Tonight Show, on his last Late Night show, he aired his favorite skit they ever did on that show, which was when he took part in a baseball league that played it with... with the uniforms and style of the early 1800s. And it was Conan O'Brien playing an old-timey baseball player. If you took that same gimmick and it shrunk him by a foot and had him play an old-timey wrestler instead of an old-time baseball player, that is what Jack Gallagher is.
Let me do you one better, similar to your analogy, but better and easier for everyone to understand. If you took Conan O'Brien and Simon Gotch, and you put them in Conan O'Brien's If They Made It.
Yes.
That's what you got.
That's a good one, too. That is a good one, too. So
Jack Gallagher.
So Fabian Aichner, I believe.
Aichner.
Fabian Aichner.
Who I want to take nothing away from.
No, he's impressive, too.
He was overshadowed by the great Jack Gallagher.
Fabian's going to get signed.
He'll be on Raw Monday.
Yeah.
If he had wrestled anyone else, it's likely that all people would be talking about would be Fabian Aichner.
Yeah.
But unfortunately for him, he was in there with Jack Gallagher.
It is amazing to the people, some of them on this show, but among the people who got first round matches and they couldn't find one, first round wins, I should say, and they couldn't find a win for Fabian Aichner is amazing. He's a big jacked up guy. I was trying to figure out how he made the weight limit. He is very...
By 3 pounds.
He is very clearly American, but representing Italy. He's promo is forgettable. He looks like every generic UFC guy you ever saw. And then here comes Gallagher. Handlebar mustache, flaming red hair, cuts his promo in a full suit. He vows to keep the sport gentlemanly so long as his opponent also keeps it gentlemanly. He knows he's not the biggest or strongest man in the tournament, but given the opportunity, he will submit you or pin you.
I don't think you know who Jervis Cottonbelly is.
I do.
This may be Jervis Cottonbelly.
It's actually
possible. Not entirely sure.
Now, to make it even better, that's just his sit-down promo beforehand. It's time for the match. All of you go to YouTube, play the Carmen Symphony. That's his music.
No wonder Brian fell in love with him.
And he comes out in these vertically striped trunks and no knee pads because he's English, and I guess the English never wear knee pads. Pale. Super, super pale. And he is no Zack Sabre Jr., but he is not a bodybuilder. And he gets in there with Fabian Aichner, who's huge, and he does the fake lat gimmick exactly like Conan O'Brien would do. There's more.
These were not fake lats, Vinny. Give me a break. This man is jacked.
Now, we discussed Zack Sabre Jr.'s appearance in the show, how he does many World of Sports style counters. It's all very slick, technical grappling stuff. Gallagher does the same stuff, but he is so much better at making a show of it, and he got over so much better with this crowd. He was outstanding.
Because there are two ways that you can do this. When you do this fancy technical wrestling, your options are to do it so fast that people are blinded by your speed and your technique. Mm-hmm. Or you can be really, really slow.
Yes.
So slow that it's almost preposterous. But because it's so slow, it looks so smooth. And I don't know if it's like a new thing, this going really, really fast with your technical wrestling. But the way that I learned it was, if it's real, like if you're doing amateur wrestling, people are very, very impressed when you pull something off very quickly. Mm-hmm. But it's the exact opposite in a worked sport. It's more impressive when you do it slowly because the audience can figure out what the hell's going on. That's what he did here with one of his reversals. It was so slow that if you did it in the middle of a match, Vinny, or me, or any of the listeners, I promise you that we would feel like we were going way too slow. But it was just slow enough that the audience, their minds were blown.
Yes.
And all he did was a double fucking hammerlock reversal. And they were like, and Daniel Bryan was like, oh my, he fell out of his chair almost at a double hammerlock reversal.
His beard grew back watching this move. I know the one you're talking about. You're correct. And also, he would do one reversal or takedown or escape. He'd just do one of them and he would stop and give the audience time to appreciate it rather than moving on to eight other different moves. Yes, Kurt Angle in his book, a man who knew a thing or two about technical wrestling, talked about one of the hardest things for him to learn was to slow down.
That's right.
Because in amateur wrestling, if the crowd doesn't know what's how you got to a certain position, they think that's impressive, and in pro wrestling, they don't. Anyway, Aigner also looked really good. He is, as noted, huge. He can fly. He was doing double jump moonsaults and all sorts of power moves. And finally, all his big moves failed, so he just went with the ground and pound. And the crowd hated seeing the gentleman getting roughed up, and they booed. And he missed a frog splash, and Gallagher countered with a running headbutt, and then the best corner dropkick you'll ever see for the win. Outstanding wrestling.
I would say that this was the greatest match ever, but I don't want to take anything away from the main event. This was the second greatest match ever.
On the show.
No, in the history of the universe. Jack Gallagher is my new favorite wrestler.
Now, do you realize in the second round now, we're going to get Jack Gallagher and Akira Tozawa?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
There's going to be a lot of great
matches.
Oh, my
God.
In that second round.
Well, speaking of great matches, Johnny effing Gargano and Tommaso effing Ciampa.
First of all, they said this match was great.
They did. I do like the. I don't even know if this is a critique, but it's a nitpick for sure. They're doing all they can to make this tournament international. They're taking the Canadians and say you're from India. They're taking Fabian Aichner, who's very clearly American, and say you're from Italy. And they take Tommaso Ciampa, whose gimmick was the Sicilian shooter, and they say, you're from the U.S. because of the American flag.
I'm going to let you talk about all the moves in a minute, but let me just tell you the overarching story of this match, which was so great. These men are a tag team. But they ended up in the same bracket and wrestling each other in the Cruiserweight Classic.
Because apparently Hunter's just a dick.
Yeah. Or it's a blind draw.
All right.
Like those old WCW blind draws where hated rivals and tag teams.
Yeah.
So they have this match and they're a team. They room together. They drive together. Gargano's getting married and Ciampa's going to be in his wedding. But the fucking inaugural Cruiserweight Classic is so important that they let each other know we're going to beat each other's asses. So Tommaso goes in there and beats the shit out of Johnny Gargano. And little Johnny Gargano makes his comeback here, he makes his comeback there, but then he will get a hard knee or a hard chop or a hard slap or whatever. Ciampa's killing this dude. And finally, Ciampa pulls down his knee pad because he's gonna end this guy with his killer knee to the head. But then he realizes this man's wedding is coming up. He'll kick my ass if we take pictures together and his face is all fucked up from my knee or whatever's going through his head. So he pulls his knee pad back up. This gives Johnny time to recover a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. Enough. So they do their near falls and everything like that. And finally, after being manhandled repeatedly, Mr. Wrestling, Johnny Gargano, crucifixes his partner out of nowhere and pins him. The story of this match that the announcers didn't even explain, one of the stories, is that this is also why they are such a great fucking tag team. Because Ciampa is the killer who will beat the shit out of you and could beat almost anyone. And Gargano is the guy that, despite his size, he is crafty enough to beat anyone. That's why they are so great together. And when it's over, Ciampa is all broken up. Fuck the wedding. Fuck this tag team. I cannot advance in this tournament to face whoever the fuck I'm facing in the second round. He goes to leave, and the fans in the Full Sail Arena, all these young millennials, chant, "Go back!" And Ciampa goes back in the ring, and he sits down next to his little buddy, like Skipper and Gilligan, and he puts his arm around the guy, and they hug and shake hands, and everybody in the crowd is so happy to see the friends again after this awesome fucking match. This was so good.
We've seen Ciampa in NXT for, I think, more than a year now.
He's a million times better than when he was in Ring of Honor.
Yeah. But the key thing, in NXT for most of that time, obviously, he has been Johnny Gargano's tag team partner. They've been a babyface tag team act. And he's been had some good matches, some are better than others, but never really blew me away. And he came out here, and he was evil. He was, in fact, as the trans chanted, psycho killer. He's so much better this way, as the scary mofo who will kill you if he has to win.
Yeah.
That was step one about why this is so great. Step two is Johnny Gargano is, in fact, the little engine that could. And even as he's kicking out of every finisher in the world, he would kick out, but then he would lie there gasping for breath, and he's got this look in his face like he's still trying to figure out where on earth he is. And Gargano can't put him away, Ciampa can't put him away, can't put him away, can't put him away. The knee strike where he pulled his knee pad down and then had compassion and pulled the knee pad back up and then he kept on wrestling. That was his missed opportunity. I'm quite certain this will pay back at something down the road. But when Tomasa is throwing strikes, slapping him in the face repeatedly, and Gargano says, "I want more." And so Ciampa pulls off his elbow pad and throws a rolling elbow, but Gargano ducks it, which leads into the counters, which leads into the crucifix for the win. That was all great. And then I think the post-match may have been even better than the match itself. It's been 15 minutes or whatever it was by the end of this. Both guys are exhausted. Both guys have just had the hell kicked out of them. They're doing a million replays of everything. And they go to do the referee raises his hands. You know, the two men meet at the center ring. The ref raises the winner's hand. It's the official announcement, as Bruce Buffer would say. So he raises Gargano's hand. And Ciampa is staring at the mat. He is devastated. He gave it his all. And tonight his all wasn't enough. And Gargano, after moments of celebration, now he's heartbroken for his buddy. One of them had to lose, and it sucks that it was his friend. And he offers his handshake, and Ciampa goes to leave. And when Ciampa leaves, Gargano's heart breaks more. And he collapses down to his ass. He just falls down. He can't stand anymore. And Ciampa stops at the ropes. The crowd is chanting, "Go back." and he punches himself in the head repeatedly, and he knows what he has to do. And he goes back, and he sits down next to Gargano, and he wraps his arm around his shoulder. But you know what he never did? He never looked him in the eye. He never smiled. And what this was, through body language and facial expression, this was Tommaso Ciampa saying, fuck no, I'm not okay. Fuck no, we're not okay. But we will be. And that was that.
That was very deep.
It was deep.
I don't know if it was. I think they're buddies. But he's disappointed.
By the time next time we see them on TV, they will be.
He is very, very disappointed in how this has all gone down. So yes, going back to the beginning of this review, this was a wrestling show, but it was better sports entertainment than Raw. And I haven't even hated Raw lately.
No.
Raw hasn't been bad, but it wasn't as good as this. What great stories.
Oh, fuck no.
And man, all of the matches we got coming in this tournament. This was only round one.
Round one's done now. They only advertised two matches for next week. I don't know. May only be two. May do two.
This thing goes 10 weeks, yeah. So they got to stretch it out another 6 weeks now.
I would guess.
And we're already in the quarters?
This 16 is the quarterfinals, yeah, I think. No.
Eight.
We're down to 16.
We're down to 16.
Whatever
the fuck it is.
We're down to the round of 16.
That's right.
Next week is Tajiri versus Grand Metalik, and Cedric Alexander versus Kota Ibushi, which also sounds great. And I was starting to say, I would guess that maybe they'll throw some of the first round losers together into singles or tag matches or something.
Actually, maybe they can do that.
I haven't read the spoilers.
I don't either. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
But again,
that show ruled.
And I don't even know a lot of spoilers. I know a couple. But I just know I'm going to get more and more frustrated this fucking thing goes on. I mean, Ciampa's already gone.
Yes.
And Noam Dar is moved on.
Yes.
Nothing against the guy. But he did not look impressive on the show. And Ciampa blew my ass away. And he's gone. Oh, well. Raw.
Monday Night Raw. Raw was mostly a good show. But the stuff that was bad, at least on the Hulu version, was very, very bad. Which leads me to believe everything they cut from Hulu must have been even worse.
Or better.
We'll see.
We'll find out.
The first segment went, I believe, 22 minutes.
It did.
I will sum up for you in one sentence. Mick Foley booked Sasha Banks and Enzo Amore versus Chris Jericho and Charlotte.
It was, in fact,
it was 22 minutes. There was maybe 5 minutes of good material. But they have 3 hours to fill and now half a roster to do it with. And so we get segments like this. They go on freaking forever.
But you know what I will say? And I know I'm going to be flooded with text messages in the morning. Enzo is awesome.
Yes.
Some people... Enzo is... I don't think there is anybody in the world who doesn't have an opinion strongly about Enzo. There's no one who just watches Enzo.
He is not a guy.
You either love him or you fucking cannot stand him.
Enzo Amore is not fine.
No.
He is great or he is terrible.
We need
and it depends
more
on the person.
Guys like Enzo Amore.
That's true.
Amore.
That is true. So my biggest critique of this, besides that it just went way too goddamn long, is, and it's not like it's unique to the segment, it's what they do now. But we get these people who are supposed to absolutely despise each other, just hate their guts. And they don't come out and talk for a few minutes and fight. They talk for 15 minutes. They have an in-person, face-to-face Twitter feud. And it's stupid.
Here's my bigger issue in it. It is a Sasha issue. It is a Carmella issue. The one thing that absolutely I could not handle about Impact. There was actually a lot of things, but just one of them. Every single woman on the TNA roster came off as absolutely completely unlikable. Because every time they were in a segment together, every single one of them was so catty. There was no Bayley.
No.
In TNA.
No.
There was no one approaching a Bayley in TNA. And it's starting to get like that. I don't know if it's there's one writer for all the women, or I don't know what it is. But Sasha Banks is a babyface, and the people do like her. But man, she starts talking, and all I can think is, you are totally miscast.
Yes.
Same thing on SmackDown this week. There was an interview segment with Carmella and Natalya. And Carmella is the babyface, and Natalya is the heel. But when the segment was over, all I wanted was for Natalya to beat the hell out of her and sharpshooter her, which is the opposite of what I was supposed to think. So, I don't know what it is, but it's not working for me.
The other thing here is that Sasha, in her promo, was bragging about the moment she had with Bayley. Not at the pay-per-view where Bayley made her main roster debut. No, the match they had at Brooklyn that Sasha lost. She came out here and bragged about her loss.
Not only that, but it was a year ago on a takeover show, which you have to remember, on the WWE Network, you're talking like way less than a million viewers saw that. And Raw is a show that is viewed by millions and millions and millions of people. So the vast majority had no idea what she was talking about.
Well, then she comes out, they do this match, and Kevin Owens comes out on commentary because, as he put it, Enzo and Sasha were boring and annoying, and they needed somebody entertaining on TV.
He's better than everyone else.
And he's much better than the other announcers. So he addresses Sasha's brags about her match at TakeOver, and then starts to talk about how stupid this is. And I think, thank God someone here is going to point out she lost that match. And he says, no, it's stupid because that show was stolen by me and Finn Balor. He lost that match too!
There's a lot of this show-stealing stuff. Good thing you didn't watch SmackDown last week.
This time you're ready to turn the show off. I was so pissed off at this point between the never-ending promo and everyone bragging about their losses. So, had a short match. Dana Brooke was on screen for, I swear, half a second. And then I wrote, a bunch of stuff happened, and Charlotte pinned Sasha with natural selection.
Yeah.
Dana, after the match, appeared on screen longer. I don't think they could have done any more to cover more of her body. She was in a potato sack. Jericho hits Enzo with a code breaker. This brings out Big Cass, or as Owens called him, the dangerous one. And Jericho left, and he hugged Charlotte and Dana, so perhaps that will be a new stable. What a stable that is. Mark Henry met with Mick Foley and Steph.
Oh, man. You missed Braun Strowman versus Andy... No, I'm sorry. I almost said Andy Everhole. It's not quite that bad. Evan Anderhole. That was his name. It's so funny.
Andy Everhole.
No, Evan Anderhole.
It's not anymore, it's not.
Andy Everhole?
I didn't even see this match. I can tell you this man's name was Andy Everhole.
Anyway, he lost to Braun Strowman. They interviewed him before the match, and they said, Andy Everhole, why the fuck are you out here taking a match with Bronny the Strowman? And Andy Everhole says, well, they told me if I lost, I'll make $1,000.
Mm.
But if I win, I'll make $5,000. He lost.
Damn.
They're going to get Braun Strowman over with me by doing these squash matches with guys like Andy Everhole every week.
Oh, God. Then Mark Henry?
Yes.
Mark Henry met with Mick Foley and Steph. They announced he would be their ambassador to the Rio Olympics. So he'll be in Brazil for a while. He said, I want to wrestle. And they said, essentially, you are old. And we drafted you just to be a mentor.
Can you imagine having to be sent to Rio for these Olympics? God.
This is not the, not the year you want to be the Olympic ambassador. So, even though they called him old to his face, Mark Henry took this in stride. He still had a lot to offer. He wanted one more run. Well, they said, all right, I like what I've heard. I'm going to give you a chance to prove you deserve it. Tonight, you get a match against Rusev for the U.S. title. And he was happy to hear this. He vowed to bring the U.S. title back to America. Michael Cole brought Finn Balor into the ring for a promo. Balor did not get very far before Seth interrupted. And Seth comes out, and he does the gimmick where he's interviewing Finn, but he's also answering all the questions. And it's really just a long promo by Seth, and Finn is also there.
God, they cut out the Shining Stars versus the Golden Truth.
You don't say.
The Golden Truth have finally become a team after months and months and months and months of angles. And now they're losing their matches because they're playing Pokemon. I'm shocked that they cut that out.
You know the best part about that? Except for like Kane and maybe Mark Henry, one or two of those are the two oldest dudes in the active roster right now. And they're the ones with the Pokemon gimmick.
I want to mention something else very quickly before we move on about Mark Henry. They said that we drafted you to be a mentor.
Yes.
Not to be a wrestler.
Correct.
They wasted a draft pick for a mentor.
Yeah.
They chose him before Braun Strowman. It was more important to have a mentor for the young guys than to have Braun Strowman or Bo Dallas, the Shining Stars, Alicia Fox, Dana Brooke, Curtis Axel. It was more important for Henry to mentor people than to get any of those wrestlers.
So they're doing this Finn Balor, Seth Rollins segment. And the whole thing is done very, very carefully, you can tell. They wanted to protect Balor. It was his first promo on the main roster. He's not his strong point. They did not want to expose him. Which, by the way, good on you for once. For accentuating a guy's strengths and covering his weaknesses. Now, that said, he did have some talking here. And when he spoke, he did fine and the crowd liked him. And it ended in a brawl and he sent Seth packing. And he came off great here. This was a home run.
It was a home run, but it was still a little too long.
Sure. But again, 3 hours.
They do have too much time.
I was very excited for this match afterwards, and I thought about it and realized I was probably excited for the match going in. But this helped. Rusev versus Mark Henry. Quite the slobber knocker. Henry damn near took his head off doing that sit-down splash across the ropes. And then he powered out of one accolade, then Rusev cut him off with a super kick and hooked the accolade for the win. So no U.S. title for Henry. Lana, by the way, is out there in her wedding dress. And I don't know if there's a tactful way to say this, but I will say that if she wears this every week, that is fine with me.
Tactful?
No, nothing.
It's fucking hot.
Yeah. So Rusev cuts a promo saying Henry is a poor excuse for an Olympic hero. The Olympics are crooked. Athletes from great countries like Russia and Bulgaria have been banned so Americans can win. I never did look that up. Are the Bulgarian Olympic team banned?
I don't think the Bulgarians were.
Yeah.
A third of the Russians were.
Yes. He called himself a super athlete and a natural born winner, screamed in Bulgarian for a while, and then Roman Reigns interrupted. They had a stare down. Rusev tried to walk away.
Oh, wow. It is the Bulgarian weightlifters have been
banned.
Oh,
really? Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So Roman blocked him from walking away. They eventually got in a brawl, and Roman left him laying with a Superman punch. So he's eyeing the U.S. title, and clearly it's going to be Roman Reigns and Rusev at SummerSlam.
American hero Roman Reigns fighting for that U.S. title.
This is
they'll cheer him this time.
This is a new one.
I love
not
it.
Seen the Roman Express on a bus across the country.
When Roman came out, I almost did a flip. I had not expected it, and when I saw it, I was like, you stupid fucker. You should have seen this coming, dude. There ain't much left.
No, they have not tried Roman Reigns American Hero.
They have not tried that. In an Olympic year.
In an Olympic year.
Against a Bulgarian weightlifter.
Damn.
That's what he is.
Yes. Sheamus met with Foley and Steph. He said he deserved a U.S. title match. Cesaro interrupted. They bickered for a while. And finally, Foley and Steph spoke up and said, oh, both guys were complaining about their draft status and said they should have been drafted higher. Foley said, Cesaro, you're a hell of a talent, but you have a bad shoulder. We know it, and Shane knows it, and that's why you fell in the draft. And Sheamus, you've had some big wins, but you haven't done anything to impress anyone since you cashed in your briefcase. That was almost a year ago. So you guys think you deserve a match? You go fight each other. Whoever impresses us more, we'll get a title shot down the line.
I have two things to say. Number one, they cut out Titus O'Neil versus Darren Young.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It sucked.
You don't say.
It was a bad match. And second, I was ranting when reviewing the show with Dave about how of all the things that they didn't explain in the draft, they actually went out of the way to explain why Cesaro got drafted so late. And somebody said, a non-listener, clearly, a non-hearer, said, I cannot believe that Brian was burying the fact that they had an explanation for sorrow. That's not what I said, and that's not what I did. My point was, of all the things, that was the one thing that they had an explanation for. Do not sit here and defend the whole company and the whole draft because of 1,000 things they could have explained, they explained one. That's my point. There's 100 things they should have explained, and 100 of them would have taken 100 seconds. I'm glad they explained why he was drafted low.
New Day came out for a promo. They said Gallows and Anderson had attacked them like bald-headed cowards. And I was so upset they didn't call them bald-headed geeks.
Mm.
Would have been perfect.
You missed, by the way, Nia Jackson, Ariel Monroe.
Not a little mermaid. Is that the Little Mermaid? That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't think her last name was Monroe.
Hmm. I have to watch. I haven't seen it in a while.
I'll find out.
Little Mermaid last name. I know. I got to see what comes up.
I don't know if I want to see what comes up.
Is your safe search on?
It's always on, Vinny.
I see. That's too bad.
Okay. Ariel. Occupation. Princess.
Sure.
Family. King Triton,
mm-hmm.
father. Queen Athena, mother, deceased. Spoilers. Aquata, Andrina, Arista, Athena, Adela, and Alana. Sisters. Poseidon, her paternal grandfather, and Neptune, her paternal great-grandfather.
Aha.
Spouse, Prince Eric. I don't see any last names here, Vinny.
No.
And her children, Princess Melody. So it appears that Ariel does not, in fact, have a last name.
Okay. So they had drawn fruit to see who would be out of this match, and Xavier drew the banana, which means he was not in the match. He did not get to perform in front of his hometown, in front of his parents. They plugged the cereal. They emphasized it's real. They knew most people would not believe this. They stressed it was real over and over again. Said you can buy it and eat it with your family, and you should because we need the money. That's what they said. It is some very wacky dancing.
Do you know that there is a official Disney wiki?
I'm not surprised.
Disney.wikia.com.
Why wouldn't there be?
Where you can get a whole article on Ariel, including a description, a number of words to describe her appearance. Slender, fair skin, red lips, long red hair, aqua blue eyes, lavender seashell bra, sea green, horizontal, fish-like tail.
Yeah, that's the key detail. Kind of burying the lead there.
Yeah.
All right, Gallows and Anderson versus New Day. This was the other segment that pissed me off. Do you have more to say about Ariel Little Mermaid?
I just have one more thing, then I got to shut this page. It lists her goal.
Oh.
To restore music and happiness to the kingdom of Atlantica. And in parentheses, it adds, succeeded. To become human and live a different life on land with Eric. Succeeded. And to protect her daughter Melody from Morgana.
Oh.
Succeeded.
Excellent.
Wow. I could go through a lot of these with my daughter someday.
All right, this Gallows Anderson New Day segment pissed me way the hell off. They did stuff for 2 minutes. They're working over Big E. Anderson turns to Gallows to do the too sweet thing, and he schoolboys him, and he pins him. What geeks Gallows and Anderson turned out to be. But there's more to come. Gallows and Anderson then beat the holy living shit out of the New Day. The New Day got beat up by these geeks. But there's more. Xavier returned to make the save, but he got his ass kicked as well. Because after winning the match when it was 2-on-2, they could not win the fight when it was 3-on-2. As Michael Cole outright said, New Day won the match, but you couldn't tell by this devastation. Almost everyone involved in this segment came off like the biggest fucking geek in the world.
Because that's what they do. There's going to be a tag team championship match, and so everybody's going to have to lose for the next 3 weeks until the show.
The only guy who didn't look like a complete geek here was Gallows, who just teams with one of the biggest geeks in the world. And then it kept going and going and going. It was so bad. The doctors were tending to Big E afterwards, and Raw's live, so I'm assuming this didn't happen on the TV show. On Hulu, and this is the first time I've ever noticed them doing this, they had Michael Cole doing a very clearly edited in voiceover saying, check WWE.com for updates on Big E's health.
No, I think they said that.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it sounded totally different from his normal voice, which was seconds later.
No.
Hmm. Sheamus versus Cesaro. He had a fun little slobber knocker of a TV match. Sheamus beat him up forever. Cesaro hit the neutralizer more or less out of nowhere for the win. So he gets a title shot at some point. Sami Zayn versus Seth Rollins.
Wow. So after commercial, there's a big brawl, and the geeks come down to break these two guys up. And suddenly in the ring is Heath Slater and Jinder Mahal. They're back.
Mm.
Well, Jinder's back. So they want a job, and Foley comes out, and he says neither of them are on the Raw roster. But he has an idea. They will do a battle of the band. They will have a match together, and the winner gets signed. And Heath says, there's no way the band is breaking up. We're not going to do this match. He turns around. He's kicked by Jinder. Jinder pins him and is now a Raw member. This was, in fact, in his whole WWE career, the first match Jinder ever won on Raw.
Wow.
Ever.
That's astounding.
Yeah.
So, officially, in storyline, the only guy in 3MB under contract is Jinder Mahal.
Yes.
That's also astounding.
Yes. So, they were doing an angle
after
Heath Slater was not drafted, where they were teasing that since he does not have a roster spot, he was going to go do some matches in Evolve.
Were they?
So, then, Evolve sent out their mailer the other day, and buried at the bottom, it said, Heath Slater's negotiations with Evolve have been put on hold as he prepares for his match with Rhino at SmackDown this coming Tuesday.
Okay. This is my favorite angle of 2016. Heath Slater looks for work.
Yeah. That's what the storyline is.
This is awesome.
He can't get a job.
I'm sad I don't get to see this. I bet these are funny segments.
Well, you know, you could watch SmackDown.
That's true. That's true. Sami Zayn versus Seth Rollins. Had a lot of time, had an excellent TV match.
It was great.
The story is, of course, Sammy is the underdog, and in this case, he very much was. And this went from the fans thinking he had no chance to win, to by the end, they thought he had a very good chance to win. And then right at the end, he even backed off his way out of the pedigree, but then he missed the mafia kick, and Seth hit the pedigree and won. An excellent professional wrestling match.
It was. I hope that they wrestle a million times.
Yes. A plugged Puff Daddy appearing on the show next week. And it's time for the main event promo. Paul Heyman came out, introduced Brock immediately. No reference to his last UFC fight or the fallout thereof. He promised that Brock would in fact be an entertainer at SummerSlam, but his form of entertainment was very violent. He ran down Randy Orton for a while. He told Orton to take some advice from, quote, the wise old Jew. That's what he called himself. He warned Orton that Brock would take him to Suplex City. He said Orton's only chance at SummerSlam was to hit the RKO. The wrestling's the most dangerous move, but that would never happen. And then Orton flew in, and he hit the RKO out of nowhere. He jumped up. He gestured to the hashtag in the back of his t-shirt that says out of nowhere. What's going on?
What is that noise?
Wow, that sucked.
Oh. It's fine. Go ahead.
All right.
Power surge.
Okay.
Thank God I've got that gimmick.
That's what surge predictors are for. Anyway, Orton hits the RKO. He gestures to the out of nowhere hashtag on his t-shirt. And he flees up the stairs to pose with the fans. And Foley and Steph come out and they call out Raw geeks to make sure Orton doesn't run all the way down the stairs and attack Brock Lesnar again. Brock gets to his feet. He's a seething at Randy. And the best part of this whole segment was Randy at the very end, he's striking his pose, and the fans are going nuts, and then Randy goes to tear off his shirt, and he Stephanie, you just hear her screaming as the audio fades away. He can't take his shirt off. And that was that.
You know, it's way too damn early to have guys be going back and forth from Raw and SmackDown. I will give them the benefit of the doubt because the match was signed before the draft. But you know what? Even being too early, the fact that Randy was on the other show and came in through the crowd and attacked Brock and escaped through the crowd, it made it a way bigger deal.
Well,
because if you do a brand extension right, it's a great idea.
Yes.
They just can't help themselves.
Never have.
It is amazing.
Yeah. So like I say, most of this, what I saw on Raw, I enjoyed. The stuff I did not enjoy, I really, really hated.
And man, what you missed. It was not better. At the end of the day, what they cut out was worse. All right, everybody, that's it. We got to wrap it up. Want to thank everybody for listening. It is a free show today. So if you liked it, sign up at WrestlingObserver.com. Vinny and I do 3 shows a week. Dave Meltzer and I do 3 shows a week. We do at least 20 shows a week between all of the other programs on the website. 8,000 shows in the archives, dating all the way back to 2005. Every show we've ever done is available to you when you sign up. Wrestling Observer newsletters every week, back issues, and more. You will not regret it. So sign up, everybody. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Bye.